Welcome to the Emmy Louie Show with host and one of Feng Shui Architecture's leading experts, Emmy Louie. In the next hour, Emmy and her expert guests offer advice on how to make the best of your home or office, your environment, and your mind, body, and spirit. Get ready to understand your physical space and activate your energy. Here's your host, Emmy Louie.
Well, hey there. This is Deb, the Horoscope Lady, back on BBS Radio. It's September 5th. And this is the show that asks you, do you know where your planets are? We speak sidereal astrology here, and that means we look at the planets just where they are in the sky. And if you think that's what you're doing, you may not be. You may be a tropical astrologer, which means you go by the seasons, but we go by the actual constellations here, just like everybody else in India and certainly like NASA and astronomers do. For instance, the sun right now is at 18 degrees Leo. It has not got to Virgo and won't get there for another couple of weeks. However, Mercury is in Virgo, Jupiter is in Scorpio, Pluto is in the beginning of Sagittarius, Neptune's in Capricorn, Uranus is in Aquarius, Mars is cruising through Taurus, getting ready to slow down here, though. The moon right now is in Gemini, and Venus, sweet Venus, is in Cancer, and Saturn is in Cancer also. Venus retrograde, I want to talk about that today a little bit. We'll be doing that. I would like to thank everybody who's been sending me questions. I was going to answer quite a bit of those today. We're having a little trouble with our Microsoft Outlook here today, so some of the questions got dumped. Please resend them. If we do not address them today, we'll be happy to answer them. And let's just get going here. Venus retrograde. I want to talk about that just a bit. She's almost ready to go direct. She does not get as much press time, I guess, as Mercury retrograde, which is even non-astrologers, that's one of the first things they'll say. What's this Mercury retrograde? Everybody talks about Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde happens about three times a year, Venus retrograde every other year, and Mars retrograde every other year. And what it means is, standing on the ground, it appears the planets are actually going backwards in the sky. They seem to be moving against the movement of the constellations, and that has to do, of course, where we are in the solar system. It is an optical illusion. But what it means for those here on Earth, well, it means a couple of things. Usually we lose things or we have to redo things. Now, Venus retrograde is not necessarily such a bad thing. You often, instead of getting one stroke of good luck, you might get three. But I will tell you, somewhere along the line, you might get a good deal, but it goes wrong. So if you got a good deal on something earlier, got it on sale or something, it may have broken down in the last few weeks. Actually, it started this year on July 28th. It's going to go to September 9th, so not that much longer. But I did want to talk about it because so many women have been coming up and saying, you know, why am I feeling like this? I just feel aggressive. I feel angry. I've just had enough. And I will tell them they've had all those weeks of Venus retrograde. And instead of making nice, which is what, and it does make the world more pleasant when people do make nice, but instead of making nice, if there's a situation or a relationship that has not been going the way it was expected to go, we've kind of had enough. Mothers and daughters tend to be squabbling more than usual, and dads just go ahead and stay out of it. Women and their daughters will reconcile very shortly, but while they're doing all this, they're dumping their emotions. They're getting it out the way they're supposed to be doing. You may have found that you've had women or girls returning to your life. There's girlfriends you haven't talked to in a long time, or even maybe relatives you have not seen for a long time. All of a sudden, they're coming back in droves. That's frequently what happens during a Venus retrograde. And the other thing is, if you've lost an item of beauty, not paperwork, or, you know, a pair of earrings you haven't been able to find for a while, or, you know, something that got shoved in the back of the closet and you might have even forgotten that you had it, that will come back during a Venus retrograde, which makes it kind of nice. So if you've had any Venus retrogrades, I have plenty of Venus retrograde stories, and these are stories that have to do with either women just, you know, nice women, polite women, women who wouldn't say shucks, you know, if their life, you know, they had corn in their mouth, but, you know, they've just had enough, and they finally stood up, and all of a sudden they got attention that they hadn't gotten before. I think one of the more bizarre Venus retrograde stories that I've ever heard, and I don't believe I would have believed it quite if I hadn't witnessed it, was a mother-in-law sending back funeral flowers that she had gotten from someone, oh, actually from a daughter-in-law that I guess they had issues, and, you know, her son was still married to the daughter-in-law, and, you know, gentleman passed away, and everyone's flowers, you know, were round where they were supposed to be, very Venusian, you know, all those flowers. And what happened was these one set of flowers that was sent from the one family, the son and the daughter-in-law, were not brought over to the church and were not brought back to the home. They were left there. And, you know, if I had just heard that, I might have said, well, I'm sure someone just overlooked it. Nobody does that. But it did just happen recently during a Venus retrograde, and I thought, well, by golly, that is probably the strongest Venus retrograde I've ever heard of or seen of, but women just not being very nice, which is one of the prevalent things that happens. And I'll be glad when we can all get back to being nice to one another and kind of get back to normal there. Let me see. There is Mars retrograde coming up. That'll be coming up in a couple of weeks, and I will have guests on next week and the week after that to talk about that. That's always an interesting phenomenon. It lasts for about Mars will stay in the constellation Gemini for about 6 months as opposed to 6 weeks. So if you are a sidereal Gemini, you are really going to be feeling this, as well as if you're a sidereal Sagittarius. There won't be any escaping it. There won't be any saying, gee, we're going to wait till next time to do something about that. It's any issues you have are going to come right up, and it's like, okay, let's deal with them now, and let's start a new life now. So it's not all bad stuff. But you will get lots of chances to do it. I wanted to spend some time, too, before I get to these emails and questions, talking about the September 11th eclipse coming up. We just had an eclipse on August, 28th, and normally eclipses come in around 2 weeks of each other. We had a lunar eclipse, and now we're going to be having a solar eclipse. It's a partial eclipse, so it's certainly not as strong as it could be. However, since it is happening on September 11th, it is certainly worth looking at. Maybe a little bit more carefully than other eclipses for the United States. And what I see is this. We just finished also having transiting in the sky. We had Mars squaring Uranus, okay? And that was happening in our United States, the ninth house and the sixth house. So, you know, all these healthcare things coming up over and over and over again, you know, concerns with we've been having this throughout the summer, lead products coming from China. I saw where a toy manufacturer just did the third recall from, you know, things coming over. And these are they're definitely health issues, and they're very much in the media. And here comes this eclipse, pretty much at the point, squaring those points with Mars and Uranus. What does that mean? That means a heck of a lot of tension. A heck of a lot of energy being put into it that, again, coming from our 12th house. The eclipse will be in our United States 12th house, and the eclipse will be at 24 Leo. I use a Virgo rising for the United States. Well, I will not be in any public places during that day or large crowded areas, particularly health organizations. I hope it's nothing more than just, you know, there's a big outbreak of something that's quickly contained. But it could also be an outbreak of something that's more difficult to contain. Now, of course, this is also hurricane season, and with the hurricanes that have been hitting, you know, water areas, malaria, mosquitoes, things like that, that come up in mind, because this is a big health thing. But I am not happy about this at all. I'm not one of those conspiracy theory people. I'm not a doom and gloom person. I don't generally do any of that. I remember when Katrina came up a couple years ago on my weekly horoscopes, which is on mybirthchart.com, and they're updated every Friday. They're sidereal horoscopes. All summer long, I was kind of touting the eclipses coming up again. It was September 5th, I should remember. And I said, you know, we're going to lose an American icon. I'm not happy about this. I couldn't get any closer than that. I did not say New Orleans was going under, but something that an American icon. And, you know, it came up, and I said, geez, oh, flip, you know, hindsight is 20/20. It's easy to see that way. But it was just, when you see some things, it's like, geez, okay, we can get through it, you know, as certainly as a nation, but it pays to be alert. So here we have this one coming up on September 11th, certainly an important date now and forever in United States history. And here's an eclipse. So for what it's worth, I will not be traveling much. I will not be out and about, and I live right here close to the Washington, D.C. area. Had relatives at the Pentagon that day, and who did live, and but still, it was a pretty intense time, and I will not be making treks anywhere to commemorate any of that stuff at that point. So, there you go for my 2 cents with that. Let me see. I'm gonna go ahead and start getting to some of these email questions right now. Feel free to call in and ask your own questions. In the USA, it's 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. If you're calling from Canada, the toll-free number is 888-815-9756. All right, someone emailed me and asked about what does it mean to be a double Pisces? What does that mean? When someone says you are a double Pisces, Aries, Taurus, you know, whatever, any of that, they could mean, and there's nothing, I haven't seen it in any of the books that I've read, but it is a vernacular that astrologers use, and it could mean one of two things. It could mean you have your sun and your ascendant in that sign, or I've heard astrologers use it when they meant someone has their sun and their moon in that sign. So it could be either or. You can either be a new moon baby or a dark of the moon baby and have your sun and moon in the same sign, or you could have your sun and your ascendant in the same sign. And the ascendant, or the rising sign, is the constellation that was coming up on the eastern horizon when you were born, the ascendant being the exact degree, the rising sign being the entire constellation that was coming up. So hope I answered that. I had another question, more, let me see, specific. Oh, I had one, which they would get a lot, actually. It makes sense. Why am I a sidereal astrologer? I mean, like, why do that? And the answer is I was a tropical astrologer. And, again, that means tropical astrologer is what's prevalent in the United States right now in the Western Hemisphere. And it is based on the seasons. The first day of spring is the first day of Aries. First day of summer is the first day of Cancer. First day of autumn is the first day of Libra. First day of winter is the first day of Capricorn. And it's divided. And I did that for 15 years because that's pretty much what was available. Then, almost 20 years ago, I was introduced to Vedic astrology, and I didn't quite go that far. But I found out very quickly that using the sidereal zodiac was more accurate. And so that's why I do what I do. And I hope to get as many of you at least looking at this to see if it's something that you would, I know you'd find it more accurate. You know, you just need to look at it, essentially. Okay, got an email here from a young woman that is finished with college for right now, kind of wondering next year. She wants to know, should she take a couple years off or go back? She was born May 13th, 1983. And first of all, if you were born May 13th, tropically, that would make you a Taurus, but I would say, depending on the time of day you were born, And again, depending on the year, but I say 29 Aries. You were in that last degree of Aries. And you can always tell, in case you're wondering, you know, gee, I'm right on the edge. What am I really? Look to see what is a sensitive part of your body or a more expressive part or something. If you were a Taurus, I would strongly expect you to have neck or shoulder things going on, either particularly beautiful, you know, neck and shoulder line, or that's where you hold your stress. And if you are an Aries, it would be more about your head. You know, something, do you, you know, essentially get headaches or bang your head or something? I mean, it literally is as simple as that if you're trying to figure out between one or the other. Okay, let me see. She has got Saturn, just got into, actually, well, a little while ago, just got into Leo, and it'll be there for another 2 years. And it is now trining that Sun and Mercury of hers. And again, this is May 13th, 1983. Anyone born around May 13th, 1983, before that, certainly, you'd have your Sun in Aries and your Mercury in Aries. So Saturn's going to be trining that. So you can take everything that you have learned in college the last few years and actually do something with it. Apply it. Would I recommend that you go back to school now? If you are in a graduate program of some kind, absolutely. You know, now is not the time to take the 2 years off. Now's the time to go and complete that, and you'll find it so much easier. You'll find everything just clicking into place. It's like, aha, I got it. If, however, you have reached a point where you haven't decided what you want to do, then I would say take this year off. Do whatever. Don't want someone's parents emailing me. What are you saying? Take this year off. But take this year off and kind of go out and get a job, preferably in the field that you have been looking at or something along that lines, and have a good time. Play around with it. Get some practical application out of the education that you've been doing. And then come next spring, you know, when it's time to start applying again, say, okay, do I want to go back right now? What do I want to do right now? You're going to have two fairly easy years. If you want to be away from college that long, you can certainly do that. But the 2 years after that, you might have to make more adjustments than what you think is worth it. So, yeah, take off this year if you're not in graduate school. And if you are, know that life is going to be a lot nicer than what it has been, and things will just kind of fall in place for you, which is always a pleasure. Let me see. Let's open up this. This is from a gentleman, and completely, he's not concerned at all about college. He's way past that. He was born November 17th, 1954. The sun was in 1 degrees of Scorpio when he was born, and his is about changing jobs. He's reached a point where he's not quite thinking about retirement, but he doesn't know if it's worthwhile changing jobs before he retires or just kind of stick with it. And what's he doing there? First of all, if anyone was born around November 17th, 1954, the last couple years you may have felt tired or there might have been some health issues coming up, and that has to do with astrologically Neptune going back and forth over your Mars. So this is this energy planet, particularly if you're male. This is masculine. You may have had males leaving your life. Either they've made their transition or they've moved out of your life or for whatever reason. You know, they've been promoted or transferred or, you know, gone off somewhere. So there's this weariness to it. And I think that's what part of it is. It's just this kind of stuck, gee, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing with myself kind of feeling. It just, you know, I'm neither here nor there. You know, I'm not sort of sitting on the fence. I'm not sitting on the fence. What am I going to do? I will tell you that if you take care of your health, and that's important. I mean, it's important for all of us, but particularly for you all, and to trust your intuition about it, you know. And your intuition does not mean you can fix everything yourself, but it's like, okay, if this is not feeling right, then go do something about it or have it checked out. You're going to feel very different as of next May, and then there'll be a lightening of this kind of almost humdrum feeling, a stuck-in-the-doldrums kind of thing. I will also tell you that, again, if someone's born around November 17th, 1954 in particular, that year, you have one, two, three, four, at least four things in Libra. And when this Mars gets to Gemini on September 16th, and it will be in Gemini, the constellation Gemini, all the way to April 28th, a lot of things are going to get easier for you. Communication is going to get easier for you. It's going to be easier for you to get respect either at work or from your peers or from the people you're trying to motivate. Things are going to fall into place. If you've been looking for trying to get a loan for something, that will certainly be easier to come by. Life will take on a more, I hate saying almost, I wish we had another word for romantic, because when I say romantic, I'm talking about the pure ideal of what's romantic, which may or may not involve another human being. It has to do with the feeling. It has to do with the poetry of life, so to speak. And life will take on that kind of thing. You'll find a lot of people born around that time period are people with heavy sidereal Libra. What they will be doing is they may take time to go to a play or go to more romantic comedy type movies or to decorate their house or their yard or something that brings more beauty into their life. People who've been thinking for years, gee, I like to go listen to live music, don't have time for that. All of a sudden they'll make time for it, you know, to bring the arts into their life, to bring kind of a romantic feeling into their life. This is whether they're married and rekindling relationships or just to feel more poetic. And I know some of you guys are out there saying, what is she talking about? But if you have that in your chart, you will certainly be feeling it. So as far as changing jobs, back to the question at hand, as far as changing jobs is concerned, I'd like to see you hold on to where you are at least until spring, late spring. And kind of, you know, make more of a plan, not a feeling of I just want to get out of here. Think about where you want to go before you get out of there. It's not a matter of just I have to, you know, escape this. It's like, where are you escaping to? Where are you going to? And I think over the winter, as particularly, you know, after September and it gets more and more and more closer to the spring, you'll feel differently. You may feel different about the people you work with also. So I would not rush into anything as far as, you know, giving up your 401ks and the rest of that or holding on to it or taking money out of it. I'd hold on till spring, okay? And again, that's for anyone born around November 17th, 1954. All right. Another email. I'm catching up on these things. Okay, this lady was born October 26th, again, 1956, right, darn close to the other one, October 26th, 1956. If you were born October 26th of any year, the sun was in Libra. It had not got to Scorpio. It was still in Libra. Matter of fact, in the first 10 degrees of Libra, so there you go. And again, people are, it's funny, I was talking to Allison of Visible by the Numbers the other day, and she was talking about how September is like everybody's in the throes of, you know, this kind of personal change and what should I do now and what do I have to do now and the rest of that. And, yeah, she's on BBS radio on Monday evenings. And, you know, astrologically, so I was comparing what's going on. And it's funny, I'm getting all these questions kind of about the same thing. You know, what am I going to do with my life now? Part of the reason anyone born around October 26, 1956 would feel this way is over the last 6 weeks, 5 weeks, why Mars has been in Taurus, and it'll be there one more week. It has been making a square to their own Mars and a square to their Jupiter. So this is all this energy that says, you know, I want to do something right now, daggone it, and also opposing their Saturn. Now, again, this is specifically for someone born around the year 1956, around October 26th. And there's all this tension. It's like, you know, something's got to give. Something's got to change. it has been easier, certainly, to do some things, particularly relationship-oriented things or communications, because anyone born around that time, Mars would be trining their Venus and Mercury in Virgo. So I'd love to see these people born around this time period stick with their job for one more year, and that can just go through spring with that whole Mars thing that's happening. It does not mean from now until September. I don't know where she's a school teacher, so that's what she's doing right now. So certainly one more year to her would mean through next June. I'd love to see you stay there. With the time of birth this person gave me, their Saturn, transiting Saturn, not their personal Saturn, was up in the sky. So they're getting a lot of recognition this year. They're getting a lot more responsibility. And it would be nice to go ahead and just do that. You know, finish out your year or finish out your school career if that's what you want to do on a high note. Don't sell yourself short. If you have a retirement that you can do, then, you know, finish out with the highest possible pay that you can finish out before you go off and, you know, do something else. There is a continuing, there's fear issues here with, will there be Social Security when I retire? Absolutely not. Just let that one go. These are not, fear I'm going to be attacked by wild bird things. These are very practical. Am I going to have enough to retire on things? Do I have to move out of this area in order to afford retirement? I think after November, when the planet Jupiter changes signs, you're going to feel much better about that. So, again, I don't want you making any rash decisions. Don't quit mid-year. When this woman emailed me, school was just about ready to start, and I quickly emailed her back and said, look, the kids expect you, you're committed. I will answer you on the radio. I'll let you know the date, but don't just, put your best foot forward this year. That's what you want to do. It's not thinking, gee, this is my last year, I just have to make it through. Put your best foot forward. I know a lot of school teachers have that end of summer kind of regret. It's like, oh, no, it's almost over. I've got to go back. And, it's kind of a shame in some ways. It's, life is every day. Live it with a purpose. And, if you really don't like what you're doing, make a plan to leave it, but don't just go walking out the door. Okay, another gentleman here, born January 1st, 1942, who wrote and said, well, I'm a Capricorn, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. First thing I need to tell you, if you're born January 1st of any year, the sun was in Sagittarius. It was in the middle of Sagittarius, and where this particular gentleman does have his Venus in Capricorn. So, yes, you do, you like those things the Capricorns like. You're attracted to those Capricornian-type values. You don't give two hoots about the corporate ladder or and from the tone of the email that I got. I guess that was easy to see. But, no, you've always liked your freedom, and you've always chosen that. And careers that have allowed you to have it, no doubt, and you live in a place where you can still, you said, do hiking and walk out to the woods and, enjoy yourself without having neighbors too close to you. So, which is a fine thing to be able to do in certain parts of this country when there's, people everywhere. So, all right, January 1st, 1942, sun is definitely, you are a Sagittarius, sir, tropical Capricorn, but the sun and Mercury was actually in Sagittarius. What just wants to know coming? Oh, wanted this was one wanting to know about romantic, things, so to speak. Without any more, it cracked me up because I didn't get any more. I don't know if he just broke up with somebody or maybe he's been alone for a while. Quite a character. I think this person and anyone born around this time period is almost kind of a bachelor by default. I mean, I can see them certainly being married, but certainly because if you're born in 42, that was the time, you grew up and you did what you did and you got married and you had a family. But basically, hopefully you were married to a woman who enjoyed her independence too, because you certainly did. All right. I'm thinking here, with Mars going through Taurus and that Venus in Capricorn, perhaps you've met someone recently that, you know, you thought about dating or thought about asking out or getting more serious about, other than just casually seeing somebody down at the VFW or wherever you met. And I think it's lovely. I have no, you know, it's like, why not date? Why not ask somebody? When Mars moves into Gemini on September 16th, and again, it will be there all the way to April 28th, it is going to be opposed your Sun in Sagittarius, your Mercury in Sagittarius, so you get a chance to shine. There will be tension, certainly, and you will be called upon to prove yourself. So I think it's absolutely lovely if either you have just met someone or just recently been thinking about someone and you're thinking about, you know, taking it to the next level, as you said in the email, at my age. I thought, what does at your age mean? I mean, it's not, you know, you're not decrepit, for heaven's sakes. You know, you're breathing. You know, you've got life in you. As long as you have life in you, for heaven's sakes, you know, enjoy it. That's why you have one. You have a life so you can enjoy it. And, yeah, for those 6 months, I certainly think you will be called upon to prove yourself. So why not prove yourself to someone that you were interested in? I think that's lovely. Yes, and if you can hear me, I am smiling looking at this chart. I know anyone born around January 1st, 1942 has just had a sudden loss this summer, and perhaps that's what's making them thinking about it. Seeing life is, you know, it doesn't matter if you've got 10 years or 100 years, life is short, you know, when you turn around and all of a sudden it's not there anymore. So I certainly think that you should plan to enjoy life, you know, as much as humanly possible, you know, each and every day. All right, let's get to the next one. Oh, that one I enjoyed. It was the frankness of the email as much as anything else. It just made me enjoy that. What do I have here? Here's another October 26th. Different year. October 26th, 1951. The Sun was in Libra. Mercury was also in Libra. Planets elsewhere are very different. This is 1951, October 26th. So, again, Sun is in Libra there. Has not gotten to Scorpio. Oh, started having health issues this summer. Okay, anyone born with a sidereal Leo moon. Now, every single month, the moon goes through all 12 constellations. Okay, it's there for about 2.5 days. And that's one of the things that I'm digressing here. I will certainly get back to this email because I emailed this woman earlier and said, yes, I'll be, you know, take hers in turn today. But one of the things that makes astrologers look so goofy is when someone says to someone else, oh, well, we must be soulmates because my moon is conjunct your Venus. Well, not unless that person is soulmates with millions of people, then you're not soulmates, unless you've got a very broad definition of what that is. Because the moon goes through every constellation every single month. It's there about 2.5 days each month. So if you have your moon in Leo, this again is sidereal Leo, and you say, well, how do I find that out? You can find it out free a couple different ways. There's lots of places to get free horoscopes on the web. Most of them are tropical, though. If you go to searchbythestars.com, that's searchbythestars.com, you can look under free horoscopes, or I think it's called a free gift profile, and that will be, if you put your birth time in, that will be sent back with the moon, so you can find out where your moon is. And also mybirthchart.com, which is my primary site, there should be one in there for free birth charts that you'll get emailed back to you without any explanation, but you will see where the planets are. So if you have your moon in sidereal Leo, when Saturn went into Leo in June this year, and it's going to be there for 2.5 years, or 2 more years. It's already been there a half a year in 2006 for a bit. You may have experienced, particularly with your age, you know, depending on how old you are, you know, just not feeling as well as you did, or you get tired more easily, or, you know, your stomach's upset, or your heart's racing, or somebody just told you you had high blood pressure or whatever, this is not the end of the world, certainly. What this is, it's a 28-year cycle where you say, okay, I have to pay attention to this stuff now. I simply have got to pay attention to it. And if you do it right, you actually come out stronger in 2.5 years. You come out better. I don't know about anybody else who's listening to this, but I am constantly amazed at people who have, and I've certainly seen it over my lifetime, people who were in terrible shape, absolutely terrible shape, didn't eat right, didn't sleep right, didn't drink enough water, drank too much coffee, on and on and on, and they have a health crisis, and all of a sudden it's this huge wake-up call for them. And as in 2 years' time period, it's normally, it's either a Mars cycle or part of Saturn going through a constellation, 2 years' time period, everything's turned around. And they're actually in better shape than what they were before they got sick, even though they're older. So for all of you out there who have Moon in Leo, like this woman born October 26, 1951, and you have not been feeling the way you used to, or, you know, maybe you went and got your physical or checkup and they said your blood pressure was a little high or something, this is not the time to either panic or start succumbing to the thought, gee, I've got to be taking pills the rest of my life. You might, but it's not. That's not written in stone. What is, though, astrological stone, as much as that can be, is that you do have to pay attention to your health for the next 2 years. You do have to take good care of yourself. And with a little bit of effort, you're going to be in better shape than what you were before. Now, again, with these people, October 26th of any year, absolutely any year, when Mars goes into Gemini on September 16th and stays there until April 28th, even with the retrograde, it's going to be trining your sun. It'll also be trining the sidereal suns of SUNs, of people born with their sun SUN in Aquarius. And you are going to love this time period. Things are going to come to you a lot easier. It's like it will almost take a magical quality to it. It's like, gee, you know, I'd really like to have that. And all of a sudden somebody shows up and does it. So no matter what else is going on tough in your chart, if you all want things, and I'm talking about sidereal Libras or sidereal Aquarians, then you can have it. It will be lovely. So even with the, you know, health issues that this person was writing me about, you'll be fine. So, you know, start now. You know, don't wait. Start, you know, eat your oatmeal every morning. Make sure you get 5 fruits and vegetables a day. You know, start walking, doing whatever, or water walking if it's hard on your body, your joints, your knees, your hips, or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of things you can do, low impact, that improve your health and your cardiovascular health. So that's a nice, easy one there. All right. I know I had one more question here. Someone asked me, I don't have it up on my website. That was the other one here. I'm shuffling through. Sorry about that. I am starting the Gift Giving by the Stars lectures. The library system's here in Fairfax County, Virginia. The book Gift Giving by the Stars is available throughout the Fairfax County Library System in Virginia and most of California now. I believe all but the southernmost tip, all the library systems in California have it, and also in New Mexico, quite widespread. So you can go in if you don't wish to purchase it right away, but I think after you read it, you're going to want to purchase it. That's Gift Giving by the Stars, and it is a book on how to give gifts to absolutely anyone. All right, let's look at this one here. And this gentleman was born November 22nd, 1959. And if you were born November 22nd, the sun actually had gotten to Scorpio. So it was in Scorpio then, and I know a lot of people, oh, I'm a cusp. Don't know. Your sun was flat out in Scorpio, which was there for a little less than a week at that point, and we'll be moving forward. All the tension in their job. Okay. All right. If you were born November 22nd of any year, the sun was in Scorpio. If you were born November 22nd, 1959, specifically, the sun, Mercury, and Jupiter were all in Scorpio. Mars opposed all that for the last 5 weeks. You have been getting lots and lots of, your boss is right there. That's what I said. My boss is not leaving me alone. Well, Saturn is in Leo, squaring all that. Mars came along and opposed all that. And I will assume your boss is under a great deal of pressure also and wants to see you perform, wants to see you, you know, produce something so they can in turn either make the numbers right or go back to their boss or whatever. Consider this not so much a challenge to what you have done in the past, and because there was a question about that, you know, I've worked here all these years and, you know, I've always done good work. Why all the pressure now? It's not personal. It really isn't. It's about them. It's not about or what's going on, their management. I don't know where you are in the levels of what's going on with their boss on top of them, their numbers on top of them, whatever it is. So what I would recommend doing is certainly for the next week, why Mars is continuing through week and a half, I guess, through Taurus, you simply look at it like, okay, well, sort of like a test in school. I've studied all this. I've done all this. It's now I'm just being tested so I can go to the next level. Consider it like that. I will tell you for the next 2 years, certain aspects of your job or relationships or whatever will be a little difficult. You know, you'll be flowing along and something will happen. Boom, okay, now I have to address this. Now I have to stop and do this. What I would not like to see you do is get frustrated because you have all these what you consider interruptions. I have to stop and do this, daggone it. Probably using much stronger language than that. But what I would like to see you do is just deal with things as they come up and let them go. And if you can delegate or, you know, somehow someone else in the field takes care of it, not to slough off your work, but say, look, we're not equipped to do that here. Someone else needs to do that. Or if you've got a problem at home, instead of saying, okay, I have to stop and fix, let me see, my issues this past year have been leaky roof and dry wells, you know, instead of having to do with that, it's like, I'm not going to go fix that stuff. I got other stuff to do. I'll hire somebody else to fix that. You know, that kind of thing. Delegate in that way. It's like, let the person who's best suited for the job do it. You don't have to micromanage it. You don't have to stay on top. Well, you do have to stay on top of things. You don't have to do everything yourself, essentially. And none of the attitude of, you know, if I want something done right, do it myself. There are, you know, do what you're qualified to do. Have the people who work for you do what they do. And, you know, go from there. I think I can assure you, if you come through these next 2 years, which are going to be tough in your field, whatever that is, if you come through with flying colors, you are going to find the following 2 years just wonderful, absolutely wonderful. It's like your work will be recognized. What you have done, what you've said will be remembered. And, you know, life is sweet once more. So the other thing they had asked me is about retirement. Again, 1959. Oh, well, it's so you're going to be 48 this year? Is that how that works? What do you mean retirement? 48, for heaven's sakes. Maybe retire to go do something else. I would say, well, certainly 7, 8. I'd wait until you're close to 60. If I heard a scream across country, he said, no, I can't do that. Why not, you know, when you have your Saturn return, you know, maybe 58, and that's not that long, you know, keep socking the money away, you know, start a plan, start a vision about what you want to do, and go from there, but up until that, you know, just keep working. That's not a bad thing. I want to look at George Bush's chart with the eclipse that's coming up next week. I think that's important because it shows, you know, how he goes. No matter what your politics are, that's how the country goes. So it's always good to keep an eye on those things. Okay. Let me see. George Bush was born July 6, 1946. It's 7:26 a.m., New Haven, Connecticut. And I would certainly give him Cancer rising, which makes so much more sense than a Leo rising, and that his sun is still in Gemini. I mean, it's absolutely flat out 20 degrees of Gemini. It is in his 12th house, which the former president, Bill Clinton, his son was in the 12th house. A lot of presidents are. It's actually a much more powerful house position than what most tropical astrologers would tell you, or at least the ones who just, I guess, read the cookbooks kind of thing and haven't looked at a lot of historical charts, or are using tropical astrology and not sidereal astrology. And I did the same thing. You know, I know why they do that. I did the same thing. All right, anyway, George Bush's chart. Right now, the Mars is on his north node today, so he just got an opportunity for something. I haven't seen it yet on the Internet, but, well, I'm sure in the next day or so we'll find out whatever deal he struck or whatever. So that is a good thing for him and hopefully a very good thing for the country. I heard some of the volumes over there go click. I'm not listening to that. There is no point, being... You can be anti anything, but it's so much better to be pro something. So, and you know, keep your eyes on everything. The eclipse that's coming up. Oh no, that Mars is on that north node. I'm not looking at today. I'm looking at September 11th. So, what he will have before that, well, Mars will roll over his Uranus, is some calamity, some surprise, and then some opportunity immediately thereafter. So that will be on September 11th. So that will be fortunate for the United States. The sun and moon are going to be in his second house, not so good for him personally. Squaring his node, squaring that Mars. This actually, and Venus is close to his own natal Venus, so this bodes reasonably well for the United States. So no matter what happens during that eclipse, his chart does not show any great calamity for the United States. And that's important. When you're looking at the charts of a country, there's always disputes as to what time the country started or what day the country started, even what year sometimes the country started, where you're going with that. So you always look at the leader's chart and to see how that looks. I'm not seeing... And Mars gets into his 12th house on September 16th and stays there until April 28th. Anybody who's got Cancer rising, sidereal Cancer rising, that's going to be. So that does talk about hospitals. That does talk about secrecy. And I'm, you know, again, all the connotations with that. But, people he knows and loves getting sick too. And he may be visiting the hospital himself. So that's for anybody. So if you have sidereal Cancer rising, know that you may have to go have some sort of oral surgery, dental surgery, operation on your toe, something. It doesn't have to be anything major, but you may be taking a little extended visit to the doctors during that time period, and fixing something needs to be fixed, and that's the way to look at it. It doesn't have to be horrible. It's just, okay, I've been wanting to get that done. I'm going to get that done. I have some time here for a couple more. Let me see. This young lady was born in Sierra Leone, emailed me, living here now in the United States as a nurse, and February 11th, 1976, she was born. The sun was still in Capricorn on February 11th. It had not got to Aquarius and would not get there for another couple days, certainly in Capricorn. And was just kind of, you know, she's been a nurse for a long time. She's wondering if she should go back to school to become a doctor or just stay a nurse for a while. And the concern was, you know, the time off from working, you know, how do I get the money, you know, to go do that? She said she is a United States citizen now. Good for her. And what to do about that. Okay. And again, we have these Neptune problems. Anyone born around February 11th of any year, okay, and I know leap year's out there too, but February 11th of any year, with the sun at the last couple of degrees of Capricorn, you have got Neptune, and I'm speaking directly, you know, to people born around this time period, going back and forth across your sun, and it will finally be finished next spring. It'll go out for a while into Aquarius, and it'll come back one last time to go into Capricorn and go back. So, yes, that is a great time to remake yourself, make yourself over, have a do-over, I guess, on your career and your life. There is also, it's hard to stay grounded during that time period. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. It is hard to make a decision and then stick with that decision because you don't know how you feel about stuff. The best thing to do is to have, and it's good advice for anybody, but particularly if you've got Neptune waffling back and forth across your sun, you know, it is amazing opportunities to recreate yourself. But how do you stay focused? If you're young and that happens, nobody expects you, you know, to, you know, if you want to be a rock and roll star and then you want to be a veterinarian, then, you know, you want to decorate cakes for a living, nobody cares, you know. But when you're a grown-up and you, she mentioned here she has two kids, if you say, gee, I want to stop now and go back to college, which is fine, they don't want to hear a couple years later, oh, that was too hard. I couldn't hold it all together, because you can. Capricorns can do amazing things. They really are like those goats that climb mountains. They can get up that mountain one step at a time. What I would recommend that this young lady do, or any of those later degree Capricorns at this point, and again, this is sidereal, so if you're listening and thinking what your tropical sign is, it may not work like this. Write those goals down, or write that one goal down. I want to be a doctor. I am a doctor. You know, whatever it is, see your name with an MD on it or whatever. Have a date that you know you're going to be getting out, and look at that every day. Call yourself Dr. Whatever. You know, I'm Dr. So-and-so. I am taking care of these people. I'm working at this hospital or at this clinic, whatever you see yourself doing. And make that very real. And you can make yourself over. And you can make this happen. I'm not worried about your grades. I'm not worried about even you getting the money to do it. I think the money will be there. If you're born February 11th, 1976, or any time around that time in 1976, February, even the end of January, you just had a Mars return, which means for the next 2.5 years, because people born then have their natal Mars in Taurus, and transiting Mars is in Taurus. So if you're having a Mars return, then you get to, you know, plan out your next 2.5 years. And if you don't plan it out, somebody will plan it for you. They'll just give it to you. It's like, okay, we're going to choose for you if you don't make that decision. So very much so, if this is what you want to do, I would make the decision in the next week and a half and go from there. Write that goal out and go from there. If it is a money issue, don't worry about it. If it's a grade issue, do not worry about it. If it is a time away from your family issue, figure out how to get as much family time as possible. And if it is just a dissatisfaction with being a nurse where you are, then figure out how to make that better. I mean, I am all for you going ahead and getting your other degree, but I'm not sure if this is just a dissatisfaction as to what you're doing and the limited control you have, which is what you were saying. You can be a nurse and start your own clinic. I mean, that's simple to do. I mean, well, simple relatively. So if you're concerned about the care of these children and families you're talking about, you can still do that as a nurse. Love to see you be a doctor, but, you know, I'm asking here, what's the goal? You know, is it to do it? You do have more control as a doctor, but that's up to you. Next week and a half, make that decision. Write it down, and it will be the correct one. Okay, I think I have time for one more. Well, I've only got two more left, so let's see if I can get these two in real quick. I'm opening them up. Okay, this young person was born October 29th, 1969. A lot of October birthdays. 12 degrees Libra, this person was born. And again, another Mercury in Libra. That doesn't happen all the time. Mercury and Venus both can be as far as 45 degrees away, but no more than 45 degrees away. So no more than two signs away from the sun at any time. Okay. This person just finished breaking up with a significant relationship and was kind of wondering if it could they do something to make it come back. All right. First of all, if you just broke up with this person, I will assume, of course, it's the other person's idea, the woman's idea that you're going to break up. With the you just had Venus retrograde too. Venus retrograde. Okay, back to Venus retrograde. If you two get back together, and you can certainly, I don't see where there's been a restraining order or anything, you know, here. Nobody's, like, thrown you out. It may be more of a case of they're ready to have you commit, and if you have not committed, if you haven't said, gee, you know, we're actually going to do something about this, they may just be fed up with waiting. Thank you very much. Venus has been retrograde. I would try to have one more date this weekend. If she says no, I'm sorry, my dear, move on with it, because that's where Venus, you know, she's retrograde. She's had enough. I'm not making light of this, certainly. I know emotionally this is a very tough time, because when you were born, the moon was also in Taurus, so Mars is going over that. It is tough emotionally. But again, it's about commitment, isn't it? The time of Earth that you gave me, you have Leo rising, so Saturn just got into that first house, and these 2 years are all about commitments. And if you do not commit, you will lose it. That's with your job, that's with relationships, that's with a parking space, with anything. And it is, I have Leo rising too, so I'm not making light of this, but you have got to commit to everything that you do, or don't do it. As next 2 years, life is tough, but it's only as tough as you say it's going to be. Okay, I am out of time. The last person, I will get you next week. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Deb's the Horoscope Lady on BBS Radio. I'll talk to you next week. Bye now.